This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everybody? And good morning. Today is Monday, March 3rd, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And I hope you all had a fantastic weekend. The weather was awesome. The Phillies played. There was no like massive bad Eagles news or anything. But I unfortunately spent it sick. Man, it was a rough weekend, not going to lie. I felt sick all weekend, but I feel better now, and I'm ready to attack the new week. A week that should be an interesting one for the Eagles now that they are back from Indianapolis. They collected all their information last week. I expect some moves this week, whether that's re-signing of free agents, potential Nick Sirianni extension. I would think this is going to be a busy week for the Eagles. So with that being said, let's dive right into it and what you might have missed over the weekend if you were off living your glorious life and not glued to Twitter sick like I was. So first up, the big news of the weekend, I would say from the NFL perspective, was the Washington Commanders acquired Deebo Samuel in a trade for a fifth round pick. Obviously, big news in the NFL in general. Washington was one of the better teams in the NFL last year, obviously one win away and about 30 points away from going to the Super Bowl. And now they acquire a well-known name. So I think there's a bunch of ways to look at this. First, of course, let's look at it from the Eagles' perspective. I don't think this is a huge deal from the Eagles' perspective. Now, I do like the trade for Washington. I personally think Deebo is overrated, but I think the concern it would bring for the Eagles would be it's another weapon to have to worry about. The Washington didn't really have many playmakers at receiver besides Terry McLaurin. They had some nice players, but nobody you really had to worry about pre-snap. Nobody you spent time, a ton of time game planning on how they're going to use them. Deebo is going to take time away from defensive coordinators during the week as they look at how he's using them, you know, what he does in different formations, what he does pre-snap. So I think there's that difficulty with Washington acquiring Deebo. This will be another thing for the Eagles to worry about schematically when they play Washington. Now, the other thing I like about it for Washington, and where it would also impact the Eagles, is say what you will about Deebo. That dude talked trash to the Eagles, came into the link a year later, and put up 3 touchdowns and like 150 yards on him. If I'm Washington, I like adding that to my locker room. Now, I think Deebo is is overrated as a receiver. You know this. I've talked about this a ton. Like, I just don't think he's a number one receiver. But with Terry McLaurin, I think he's in a better place there. But also just from a mentality perspective, Washington already has playoff proven talent. Obviously, last year they went into Detroit and beat the Lions. So they weren't lacking like playoff experience or playoff toughness. But Deebo does add that. Like, Deebo is not afraid of the Eagles. Deebo has been to the Super Bowl. He's been a Super Bowl contender. I think Deebo is a good locker room addition for Washington. And if I'm the Eagles, I don't love them adding somebody like Deebo. Difficult to game plan for. And I just think mentally, does add something to that Washington team where they're going to really, really feel like this year they should be winning the Super Bowl. Not just getting there, not just beating the Eagles, not just winning the division. They're going to enter this year feeling like they should be the best team in the NFC and that they should be in the Super Bowl and at that point win the Super Bowl. So I like a lot of that in the trade for Washington. Now, from the Eagles, again, perspective, like, he'll take time out from game planning. He's had good games against them. I just don't think Debo's as good as he used to be. Like, look, everyone likes to post that picture that I took of him at the Super Bowl in the AJ Brown jersey and say, like, he's out of shape. Like, I don't think that's the case. I was there. Like, I don't think he's, like, out of shape or fat or anything like that. But I do think he's just not the player he used to be. I also think trading him for a fifth-round pick, now he does have a big contract, which impacts that. But a fifth-round pick lets you know what, A, San Francisco thinks about him, and that's Kyle Shanahan, who likes to use him in a bunch of different creative ways, has been around him. Like, he is arguably the face of the Niners over the past few years. They're moving on for a fifth-round pick. So it tells you what they think about him as a player. And, like, also, it tells you what the rest of the league thinks. Like, if the Eagles put A.J. Brown up on the market, they would get more than a fifth-round pick. I can guarantee you that. So the rest of the league spoke both in the way that they don't really value him, but also the way that they thought San Francisco would probably just cut him. So Washington spends a fifth to get him. I like it from Washington's perspective, but I don't think this is a massive move where Eagles fans need to be like, oh my God, they got Debo. It's an interesting wrinkle. It'll add something to their locker room. He's capable of, like, you know, making plays after the catch, but I still think the gap between the Eagles and Washington is roughly whatever you thought it was before the trade. I think the Eagles are better. Look, Washington's good. Jane Daniels is awesome. They had a really good year. So it's not like Debo got traded to the Giants or the Cowboys and you go like, oh, here we go. Like, Washington was already good. But I don't view Debo as a big time change for them. I like the trade. If this was a Washington podcast, I would say that I like the trade. But from an Eagles perspective, I don't think this is something that needs to be worried about. The Eagles are better than Washington right now, and they already have they still have the rest of the offseason to improve their roster. And while Debo only took a fifth round pick, he's costing a lot of money. So just from a pure financial standpoint, they committed quite a bit to making Debo one of their big offseason acquisitions. And for a player that's only okay, if I'm the Eagles, like, that's your big move, that's your big swing, like, I'm okay with that. So those are my thoughts on Debo to Washington. We'll be curious to hear what you have to think about him. But yeah, I don't think it's a major move that the Eagles should be worried about. Big headline move, not, I don't think, a big on-field impact in the NFC East. All right, in other Eagles rumors that are coming out of the combine, we talked on Saturday. You guys should go check it out, the Last Daily Pod, where Zach Bond's market looks like it is going to be an aggressive one. It seems like that's kind of the opposite for Mekhi Becton. So Tony Paolini, who has been reporting Eagles news for years, love Tony's stuff, always seems like he has good information. He's hearing that Becton does have interest. Like, there is interest in teams signing Becton. More teams see him as a guard, but also one that can swing out to tackle if they need to. So anytime you're a 25-year-old that can play two positions on the offensive line, there's going to have interest. But what I thought was interesting in this piece from Tony was that Mekhi prefers to stay in Philly. And we have talked about that, that I think a lot of times free agents say they want to stay in Philly. I think Mekhi Becton is truly, like, would love to stay in Philadelphia. He had the bad experience of playing with the Jets. He's talked a lot about how he found his love for football again in Philadelphia. So I genuinely believe if Mekhi Becton was presented, like, two different options, one was the Eagles and one was a team paying more money, he would pick the Eagles. But what Tony writes is that this could take a while Becton kind of gives the Eagles time to potentially, you know, get the space to sign him. So you do wonder, like, if maybe Becton is going to sit for a little bit, if the Eagles will try to get other things done, like Zach Bond, you know, see where Milton Williams signs, we'll talk about in a second, Josh Sweat. And then once the dust is settled from the initial wave of free agency, if that's where they're able to potentially re-sign Becton. And I also think what I take from this is, while there's interest, like, it's probably not going to cost as much where it's a cost that's prohibitive for the Eagles. I've compared it to the James Bradberry situation. I think when Bradberry hit free agency, the Eagles expected him to get a ton of money. I think Bradberry's camp expected him to get a ton of money. That money never really materialized, and he ended up coming back to the Eagles. And I think while you hope that the play ends up better than that, because obviously Bradbury had a bad 2023 and didn't play in 2024, I think that it could play out that way where Mekhi Becton hits the market has found out at the combine what his market is and is willing to sign a deal with the Eagles for probably less than we all thought simply because he's so happy in Philadelphia. Okay, another player that it seems pretty clear is no longer going to be with the Eagles is Milton Williams. Milton Williams, apparently a ton of interest, and this is according to MassLive.com. The New England Patriots have a lot of interest in him. So according to MassLive, a top target to monitor is Philadelphia defensive tackle Milton Williams, who's considered a good fit in Vrabel's system. The 25-year-old finished with a career-high 5 sacks and 10 quarterback hits last fall. Given the uncertainty surrounding Christian Barmore's health and Davon, man, I can't print it. You know what's sad? I looked up the last name of everybody in this pod, because we're talking about edges in a little bit. I didn't look this one up, so I can't pronounce his last name. I apologize. Williams could bring stability and championship pedigree to the middle of the defense. So the Patriots have a ton of cap space. If they like Milton Williams, they'll get Milton Williams. Milton Williams is going to want to cash in, and he absolutely should. He was a mid-round pick that has obviously made good money by, you know, a generic standpoint, but has a chance to make generational money that his kids will be able to benefit from. And I think he's going to get that from the Patriots. So I guess those would be the two big rumors to come out of the weekend. Mekhi Becton, I feel like, is inching closer to probably staying in Philly, and Milton Williams taking leaps, I would say, in the opposite direction, where it looks like he's no longer going to be with the Eagles. And the Patriots make a ton of sense. I could definitely see him signing there. Now, he's not going to have a chance to win there anytime soon, I don't think. But go get the money. I completely understand it. All right. On the other side, we're going to take our first dive into the free agent class. So this week, we're going to be previewing different positions every day of players that the Eagles could target. And I think the position they are most likely to target is an edge rusher. So I have 10 guys that I think they could target, and we're going to get into that on the other side. But first, a word from our
sponsor. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Sponsors. So in all my years covering the Eagles, it's always relatively easy to find targets you think make sense for them. They normally have a ton of cap space. There's big names. Like, it's pretty much always the top guys. Look at last year. Bryce Huff, Saquon, two of the biggest free agents, both Eagles. This year, I think it's tougher to find guys that make sense for the Eagles. They don't have a ton of cap space. They don't have a ton of holes. And I don't really think they're in a position where they want to bring in like a 34-year-old guy towards the end of his career. Like, I normally, when the Eagles pay guys initially in free agency, they are younger players that they think can be contributors for 3+ years. So there will be a second and third wave of free agency where we talk about older guys, but I'm going to look at edge rushers that I think the Eagles would potentially be willing to pay relatively big money for, or at least would target, similar to a Zach Bond, where they fit a certain profile and they just want to, you know, they want to be one of the team's most aggressive after them. So they're not going to be a big time name, but they're going to be a name the Eagles really like that they think they should target the initial wave and get done as opposed to wait around. So I'm starting with edge because assuming Josh Sweat leaves, assuming Brandon Graham doesn't come back, the Eagles are going to add at the edge position. Obviously, Myles Garrett, there's a ton of smoke there, and that's certainly a possibility. But in a world where they don't get Myles Garrett, you're probably going to draft an edge rusher in the first two rounds, I would think. You know, you hope he plays, obviously. But I think they need to go out and add an edge. So what I look for in the edge market, like not a Matthew Judon, not someone like him, but somebody that is young, has like decent production over the first few years of his career, but there's reason to think his best football is ahead of him. Like similar to a Milton Williams, honestly. Like somebody that is of a certain age profile that you would think you can get a deal on slightly and get really good football out of them moving forward. Now, some of these free agents are a little more on the expensive side, but I think these are names that I know we even talked about on the pod before, that I think would make sense for the Eagles. So first up, let's talk about an edge rusher from the Raiders, Malcolm Kunze. So he's 26 years old, a third round pick in 2021. He missed all of 2024 with a knee injury he suffered in practice, had 8 sacks with 9 tackles for a loss and 17 quarterback hits in 2023. But what's impressive about him is, first of all, the fact that he missed last year is obviously, I would think, going to impact his market, but he's only 26 years old. He had an awesome last season he played. When he played in 2023, he had a pass rush win rate of 17.5, and that was 22nd in the NFL, which is obviously for an edge rusher super high when you consider like 3 or 4 edge rushers play on every single team. So he had an elite edge pass rush win rate in 2023. And like I said, only 26 years old. He's someone I think would make sense for the Eagles. Now, what surprised me was Spotrac had his market at about $20 million per year over 2 years. If it starts to get up there, I don't think he's somebody you would see them target, but he checks every other profile. Like, again, a year in injury, so you would think that they would get him at a bit of a discount. Obviously, Spotrac not projecting that, but maybe they're wrong. Like, I do think the year off, you know, you have to look at his knee, how you feel about it health-wise. But a productive last season at only 26, you get him for, you know, 3 years of his potentially prime years. I think he'd be a good pickup for the Eagles. So that is definitely one name to keep an eye on. Another player I think makes sense for the Eagles is Azeez Ojulari. Now, we talked about him at the trade deadline, 24 years old, member of the Giants, didn't end up getting moved at the trade deadline. So I've always liked him as a player. I think he's a very good rusher. His issue is he just has not been healthy. So he has 22 sacks and 37 quarterback hits in 46 games. That's really good production. That's almost a quarterback hit a game. And from a sack perspective, that's one every 2 games. So he's been good. Last year, he didn't have a ton of total pressures. He was 85th in the NFL with 22 pressures, but he also only played 202 pass rush snaps. And if you look at the guys who played around that amount of pass rush snaps, most are around 10 or 15. So he was more productive than most guys that play that amount of pass rush snaps. Again, with Ojulari, it just comes down to the health. He's played in 16 plus games only once in 4 years. He played 17 games his rookie year, then 7 games, then 11 games, then 11 games. So he just hasn't played a ton, much like Malcolm Kunze. Like, you're going to see health, I think, play a factor with him. And as a result, Spotrac doesn't project him to make nearly as much as some of the other rushers. So he's projected to get $7.6 million over 2 years, so around a $15 million contract. The fact he wasn't traded at the deadline, like, you do wonder how much interest there is around the league in him. But only 24 years old, I would take a gamble on him for sure. And again, only $7.5 million average over 2 years. So maybe you're talking like $8 million guaranteed. You spread that out. Yeah, I mean, I don't expect there to be a huge market for him. And I think he's somebody that he gets with the Eagles. He plays with a good defensive line. He plays with a good secondary. The Eagles, look, Saquon had health issues when he was in New York. He came to Philadelphia. He remained healthy. So I think Ojulari would make a ton of sense to go and take a flyer on. Not a super cheap flyer, but definitely a flyer. Okay, another name that I think they should target and that checks a lot of boxes is Dayo Odangbo. So he plays for Indianapolis. He is 25 years old, 16 and a half sacks in 61 games, 11 sacks in his last 32, though. So right around a sack once every three games, which is pretty good production in basically the last 2 years. 32 quarterback hits in his last 32 games. So he has shown in his last 32 games with 11 sacks and 32 hits, he gets to the quarterback. So I think his best football is ahead of him. He was a second round pick in 2024. That can't possibly be right. I wrote that down. I'm sure it was 2021. And he plays. He played 64% of the snaps last season, and he had 42 pressures in 2024. Now, he's somebody I think could get paid. Spotrac has him at about a $16 million average salary over 4 years. So a big contract, but again, 25 years old, best football ahead of him, 32 quarterback hits in 32 games. Like if you're looking at Odangbo compared to Josh Sweat, Josh Sweat is older. Josh Sweat has had knee injuries. Josh Sweat, I think, has played his best football. The Eagles probably are not paying Josh Sweat. In fact, they're almost definitely not paying Josh Sweat. Odangbo, I could see them potentially cutting a check for. So, you know, ties to Indy. I'm sure Nick has talked, you know, Steichen's familiar with him. Now, he might just re-sign with the Colts, but if they cut a big check for somebody, he doesn't have the health concerns that a Malcolm Kunze has. Like, I would definitely keep an eye on Odangbo. He seems to check a lot of boxes from my time covered the Eagles of someone they would have interest in. Okay, now we're going to get down to a little bit more of the bargain players. Like, again, Odangbo, maybe $16 million a year, according to Spotrac. We're not anywhere near that with some of these next guys. So the first one, Joseph Osai from Cincinnati, only 24 years old, a third-round pick in 2021, only 9.5 sacks in 47 games, so not a ton of production, 32 quarterback hits. So he gets to the quarterback. He just hasn't really had success sacking him. He had 31 total pressures in 2024, so that's definitely appealing. That's a good number for like the third-tier type edge rusher. He also had 2 forced fumbles, and I will say, after seeing the Eagles emphasize forced fumbles so much in 2024, one thing you're going to hear me say a lot over the next few weeks is how a player does forcing fumbles. We'll talk about it with the draft. We'll talk about it with free agents. It's clearly something they value. And if they watch tape and see a guy punching at the ball, that is something they're really going to like. So Osai does that with the 2 forced fumbles in 2024. And again, last year, a career high in sacks, tackles, tackles for loss, and quarterback hits. And what I love about this is Spotrac, 1 year, $2.5 million, or $2.3 million, I should say. So he's somebody definitely, again, similar to other ones, young, good last year, best football ahead of him, somebody I would take a chance on. Okay, another player to keep an eye on in free agency for the Eagles at an edge rusher position, Baron Browning. So Baron Browning, only 26 years old, just turned 26 a few weeks ago, has played edge rusher, was drafted as an inside linebacker. And here's the reason to keep an eye on him. In 2021, when he was drafted, it was by the Denver Broncos. And who was the defensive coordinator, or who was in the coaching staff, I should say, at that time? That's right. It was Vic Fangio. It was actually the head coach in 2021 when they drafted Browning. Browning was drafted in the third round, so clearly they liked him quite a bit. Now, Fangio was no longer with Denver after 2021, so he only got to spend a year with them. But if you look at Browning since then, he has 11.5 sacks in 51 games, which isn't like amazing production, but he has a tie to Fangio. He's only 26. You know, I just think he's someone to keep an eye on. You wonder if Fangio thinks if they do lose Zach Bond, maybe he could return to an inside linebacker position. Similar body profile to Zach Bond, 6'3", 240 pounds. Has played the edge, has played the inside linebacker position. So looking at him, you know, now he did get traded last year to the Cardinals. Again, Jonathan Gannon, a Fangio disciple. So you can see the similarities there and the type of players they like. He might get re-signed, but if he hits the free agency, I think Browning is definitely somebody to keep an eye on for the Eagles. The next player you guys have probably heard, because again, much like Ajulari, we talked about him at the trade deadline, Josh Uche out of Kansas City. So 26 years old, second round pick, 20 and a half sacks in 64 games. Now, if y'all remember, he had that 11 and a half sack season in 2022 with New England. Since then, only 5 sacks in his last 28 games. Does have 34 quarterback hits in 64 games. Last year, he was traded from the Patriots to the Chiefs. But once he got to the Chiefs, he barely played there. So some concerning things would be that Andy Reid got him and decided not to play him. Spagnuolo got him, decided not to play him. And that really, he's had one awesome year and then some not so great years outside of that. His salary is just a 1-year, $4.5 million deal. So look, maybe you take a flyer on him, not a ton of guaranteed money. You probably do have to guarantee him a roster spot, or at least the money you would give him, I would think, would potentially guarantee him a really good shot at a roster spot. But I think someone worth taking a chance on. All right, next up, Chauncey Golston from the Cowboys. I know you're probably thinking Cowboys to Eagles don't normally work out well if you look at the history of guys that went from Dallas to Philadelphia. But Golston, 27 years old, a third-round pick, a career-high 5.5 sacks last year, 5 tackles for a loss, 8 quarterback hits, and had an interception. So his numbers are underwhelming overall. He doesn't really have a ton of sacks over his career, but he's coming off of his best year, and he's projected to get around $7.5 million a year on a 3-year deal, according to SpoTrack. So 27, you know, it's not the 25-year-old we're talking about with some of these older ones, not younger ones, not 24, but coming off a career year, certainly worth, I think, checking in on if you're the Eagles. Okay, a few more here. Darrell Taylor from Chicago, 27 years old, about to turn 28, so is a bit on the older side. He was a second-round pick in 2020 by Seattle, spent last year in Chicago, 24.5 sacks in 65 games. I mean, 24.5 sacks is nothing to sneeze at. That's a good production. Had a career-high 9.5 in 2022, and he had 31 hurries last year. So he's not expected to get a ton, $4.5 million average over 2 years, so right around $9 million. This one I would have some interest in. Again, 24.5 sacks in 65 games. That's impressive. So I would take a look at him for sure if I was the Eagles. I think he fits in nicely as like a, not by super low, but somebody that you could, you know, bring in and put next to Nolan Smith, Jalix Hunt. He could grow with him. Like, he could play the next 2-3 years here before he's even 30. So Darrell Taylor from the Bears, somebody to keep an eye on. And then before we get into two familiar names that have played for the team, Kalavon Chaisson from the Raiders. So 25 years old, a first round pick in 2020, only has 10 sacks in 72 games, spent 4 years with Jacksonville, one with the Raiders, but had 29 total hurries, total pressures last season with 19 hurries. I think it's a good buy low option. Again, fits the pedigree normally of what the Eagles look for. Former first round pick, still young, really good athlete, and you take a flyer on him. He's only expected to get $3.5 million according to SpoTrack. So I like the idea of bringing him in. 29 total hurries last season is a pretty good output. You know, if you look at some of the Eagles pass rush numbers, not many players on the team had more than 29 total hurries. So I think as a good kind of bring in option, just to take a flyer on, $3.5 million, former first round pick, still very young. That does sound like it has Howie written all over it. So the last two players I wanted to talk about are former Eagles, Hassan Reddick and Derek Barnett. Two players that certainly will be remembered very differently for their time with the Eagles. Derek Barnett did help the Eagles win a Super Bowl, recovered that fumble, but I think ultimately is viewed as not really meeting his potential. But he's played well since he's been traded. So he's only 28, which is crazy. You could have told me he was like 34. I feel like he's been in the NFL for forever, but only 28. And since going to the Texans, he has 7.5 sacks in 22 games. Like, that's not bad. And he has 2 forced fumbles and 18 quarterback hits. He's played well in Houston. Now, he might just want to stay there. You know, I don't know what his level of interest would be in coming back to Philadelphia. I don't think he loved the pressure he had here. Now, it'd be different this time coming back around, but still, don't know his level of interest in coming back to Philadelphia. But he's only expected to get $7 million on a 1-year deal. You never know. If the market doesn't find what he's looking for, if he's looking for a job, if the Eagles maybe don't hit on the guys they want, I would have a little bit of interest. He's played well since leaving. Maybe, you know, a change of scenery is what he needed before he has to come back and play at a high level for the team that initially drafted him. So as for Hassan Reddick, man, interesting one. So he had 26 hurries and 263 pass rush snaps last year. So it seems like he played at a relatively decent high level for the Jets. He's only expected to get a one-year prove-it deal at around $10 million, which is not super cheap for 1 year. Would the Eagles bring back Hassan Reddick? I lean no, just because I think one of the reasons they wanted to get rid of him was like, not get rid of him. One of the reasons they didn't want to pay him was I think like it got ugly at the end with the contract. You wonder where they are with that from a player and team perspective. Now, maybe having gone to New York, having it not worked out, like I bet Hassan Reddick would like to play for the Eagles again, but I don't know. I don't know if the Eagles would have a ton of interest in bringing him back. So 1 year, $10 million, didn't play a ton last year, so his body's still relatively healthy. Maybe. I don't know. I would be probably okay with it. I always thought Hassan was a good locker room guy. Played, obviously, at a really high level when he was here. But he doesn't seem like a Vic Fangio guy, too. And so there's that to think about. But, yeah, that would be an interesting one. So, all right, those are 10 edge rushers I think the Eagles should keep an eye on in free agency. Again, I don't expect it to be a super active free agency for the Eagles, but I do think their pro scouting department will spend time scouting guys and calling in to see if they can get deals. And I think edge rusher is a position they'll definitely keep an eye on. So that'll do it for today's Daily Pod. Thank you guys so much for listening. As always, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% on select styles. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.